want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 493, recorded live on April 12th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Task 427 and
Info Ferret.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on the Patreon or PayPal logos on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Wow. Yeah, so we've got a little bit of weather going on. It's been, I have to say, and I have no excuse for not going out geocaching because the weather was gorgeous. Well, life was in the way, but you know how that goes. It's been in like the mid-upper 70s, low 80s all week. And just gorgeous. So, you know, so I what I'm waiting for is whatever the critter that throws the summer switch here in the South, I figure it's going to give us probably about another week, and then thunk, it's going to be 90s for the rest of the year. So,
wow. Well, California has officially declared itself to be completely out of drought.
Really?
And it still has not stopped raining. It was raining this weekend, and it's been drizzling all week. So it's like, okay, I thought I was going to be moving out here to a dry land, and it's like, yeah, it's not quite that dry.
Are you in like one of those cycles, or is it like Texas where they have, you know, you're on fire for half the year and then you're underwater for the rest? Is it like that there?
You know, they usually have about 2 to 3 months where you get the rainy season, but it's not, you know, compared to Texas or Houston, it's not near that much rain.
Right.
But the reality is we've had more in the neighborhood of 4 or 5 months, and it's been more like Houston level rains.
Right.
We're like, I think 2 or 3 inches, or I should say Sacramento is like 2 or 3 inches from the most rain ever in a year.
Wow.
And we're in March, or pardon me, April.
Yeah. Holy cow.
So we haven't got to the October, November, December rains at the end of the year.
Right. Now, you're up in the Granite Mountain part, so you don't get the mudslides in that, right? Do they have in other areas with that?
They do have that actually around here. So they have rock slides.
Yeah.
I'm in the foothills, so I'm just to the, northeast of the valley itself. So I'm just barely into the foothills. But yeah, we had some rock slides up US 50 from us, like 13 miles away from here, where it blocked the road. We had rock slides on where Donner Pass is, on I-5, mm-hmm. where it crosses the mountains over on that side. So yeah, there's been a number of rock slides out here, but it's not, I don't think it's as nationally known as the ones that are, say, down by the beach.
Yeah.
Where you got houses falling off.
Half a mountain coming down the side. Yeah. Wow. Right.
But it's good enough to put some, you know, good 10 to 20 foot diameter boulders in the middle of the road.
Yeah, that'll wake you up.
Yeah.
So speaking of wet, Sarah.
Yep.
You are literally right now waiting for, now which name is the cyclone for the one that's coming up your area?
Well, it's sort of the headline, newspaper headline, says Cyclone Cook, C-double-O-K.
So now, how does that work? Because wasn't the last one starting with, that was Deborah.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't name these things.
They're named at the time that the depressions are first identified. So,
oh, it could actually have been spinning around.
Right. It might have beaten.
Yeah. One might have spun up quicker and then dissipated. So.
Yeah. No, it's supposed to be getting very, very wet here later this afternoon. And basically overnight all U.S. time, so it's supposed to be really horrible in Wellington overnight and tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you were showing earlier that some parts are already starting to evacuate.
Yeah, Coromandel Peninsula, which is about 4 hours from Auckland, they're telling people to, if you're low-lying, get out.
Yeah.
And a lot of the areas, some of the schools are shut, the university's shut for the day. Partly because it's Easter over the weekend, so they're taking the sort of advantage of the lull, I think. But also, we had a drenching leftover from Cyclone Debbie last week. What is it about Thursdays? It always pours down.
Yeah.
But it must be you lot.
That's all right. We blame Canada for everything that we get, so it's how it works.
They can change from blaming Brexit.
That too. All right.
But yeah, it's wet. It's going to be wet. And part of the problem is this one's not insignificant. I can't speak now. Insignificant in its own right.
Right.
But because there was such a drenching last week, there's basically nowhere for the water to go.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
So speaking of Thursday, it's Donnerstag Thursday. So
yes,
for you across the international dateline, it's tonight. For us, it's tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's my dinner.
Go out and get your souvenir.
Absolutely. Get an event.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. All right, I do have a little note from Scott Burks. If you've noticed that Scott wasn't here last week, he's actually taking the next few months off. He'll be in when he can, but between moving the house and baseball with the kids and all the other stuff that goes with that, he said, hey, you know what, I'll be back in July. Have fun. So he does send in, and every once in a while he'll put some notes in. So I just noticed in the show notes he did put in, and this is a really cool milestone. His first define a month, he now has number 99 in the record books. He's going for 100. He's saying one more month to go, a few caches last week, but mostly baseball and getting the new house ready. Jesse got 4 stitches in the ER Saturday night.
Ouch.
You're not supposed to go to the ER to get hurt. You go to the ER after you're hurt. I'm just saying. Slicing her hand with the X-Acto knife while putting flooring in upstairs. Ow. So, Jesse, yeah. Shorty Nitz, we hope you're feeling better, darling. And 4 stitches. Ouch. And then that's always...
If you haven't sliced your finger open with an X-Acto knife, you haven't been using one.
Man, I'll tell you what. Man.
Hey, I'm a quilter. I use a rotary cutter.
If you're going to do it right. So, yeah we hope that Shorty Nitz gets better real soon. Congrats to Scott Burks for number 99. We're anxiously waiting for next month. For him to finally hit 100 first defined months in a row. Holy cow. Taz, how about yourself? What's going on?
Oh, I did finally manage to get back out and get a geocache.
It was
a kind of a parking grab while drizzling. It's like, you know, I need to get one. And the thing was friggin' covered in ants.
Oh,
these little bitty tiny ants. And you know, when I was living in Indiana, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. After having lived in Houston for 20
that's
years,
that's a different animal.
My mind thinks about fire ants.
Yes.
And so it's like these things, but these things aren't going to bite me. But when they're all running around on your arm and hand because ooh, you're trying to get the log sheet out there, my brain's telling me they're going to bite, they're going to bite, they're going to bite. And so, you know, afterwards, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Get these off of me.
Yeah, that'll drive you nuts. Sarah, now, you don't have anything in New Zealand, I think, shy of unicorns and other stuff.
Oh, there's the odd ant that bites, and there's the odd plant that's spiky plants and are there in tons.
Do you have anything comparative to the fire ants that we have here in the Southwest or the South?
Sure, we've got wasps, okay, which are very nice.
Yeah.
No, those are single sting. You know, those are single sting, single bite things. These are guys where they'll get about 20 or 30 of them on you,
right?
And they will literally use a chemical signal to signal all of them to bite at the same time, and yes. So you'll have dozens of these very painful bites.
Yes,
all over your arm, leg, wherever they're at.
Basically, what happens is and not to gross everybody else, but if you've been with fire ants and anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or anywhere else in the South, what'll happen is one will bite you. They're extremely strong. The pinchers are extremely. They'll bite through anything, and you instantly get a white pustule that forms, and they're extremely painful. And when they break, they literally feel like fire, thus the fire ants. So, yeah, no fun.
Keep them.
No. We're willing to share. Matter of fact, they're willing to share, too. But, yeah, if you go down to from North Carolina, we've got quite a few. But if you really get into South Carolina, going into Georgia, if you go along the main routes where the rest areas and stuff are, you'll just see mounds of these things. And it takes two seconds.
I was going to say, is that the bodies of the people I've bitten?
Sometimes you wonder if they're going to pull you in. Some of those nests get that big. But, you got to be careful when you're walking around. It's not quite Australia about here, but there's some stuff you don't want to get bit by.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Sarah, how's things besides being drenched?
Oh, well, the boys went off to New Plymouth over the weekend and did a 6-hour adventure race. Parental boasting here. Cloak and Dagger can do it. I'm going to do it.
There you go.
The 21-year-old and 12-year-old came 9th out of 13 in the open men's pairs after 6 hours of doing stuff, but 14th out of 51 teams overall.
Wow.
And that involved mountain biking, running, tubing across a river, where the younger one proved he swam better than the older one, jumping off a bridge, and apparently there were other strange things they could also have done, but that's the ones I heard about.
Yeah, we won't tell mom the rest.
While they were doing that, I met up with a friend, and we went over the hills into the Wairarapa, also known as Skindo Land, because he's the guy who set most of the caches in the area. We managed to finish off a trail that we've both done sort of bits of, so that was really good to get finished. Actually, we had one DNF on it, so we're going to have to go back. But I picked up 57 caches in total, but because the driver wanted 50 caches as well, we were picking up a couple on the way back. And I thought, I know where there's a park and grab for you, really easy, in the hut. So we went into the hut, into Upper Hut. Yes, that is the place. And we pulled over towards a broadband box where I knew there was an Eclipse tin with a magnet attached to it. And we pulled in, we stopped. We then realized about 200-300 yards further down the road was what they call a booze bus in New Zealand, which is a police checkpoint where they stop every car going through and test you to see if you've been drinking.
Ah.
And then when they saw this car pull over and stop, they thought, oh my God, what's happening? So,
oh boy.
So before we got out of the car, they were sort of there and we were going, look, we're middle-aged women. We're sober. We're stone cold sober. And trying to explain geocaching at something like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh my gosh.
To somebody who'd never heard of it. I think some of the other members of the podcast know of that all too well.
I was going to say, you have a Scott Burks worthy LEO there. That's darn good.
But at least ours aren't armed.
And not escorted out of a state. So that's always good.
Yeah, excellent. So that's that. As said, there's a Donnerstag event tonight, which should be great for dinner. And if we haven't got totally blown away and washed away by the cyclone, I'm planning another trip on over to the Wairarapa on Saturday to pick up another trail that we haven't covered off.
Awesome. All right, good stuff. Okay, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And this week for GeoGearheads is Rogue Caching 11. Tent Man Tent. I don't write them, folks. I'm terrible in names as it is, but that's what it says. Tent Man Tent talks about his experiences and trips for travels. So excellent stuff. That'll be on Geo Gearheads tomorrow. Also on the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast, wife Amy and I will be discussing how to set up the correct specs for difficulty and terrain for geocaches is part of the main theme. Tomorrow is episode 199. We've got another week, and we hit the big 200, and we're not doing so bad here. We're on episode 493. We got seven more before we hit the big 500 for us. So lots of milestones over the next couple of weeks, and we hope that you come along for that. All right. Good, good, good. Also, last thing, if you would, please, it does cost money to do podcasts like this. If you would be so kind, if go to geocachingpodcast.com and go either on our PayPal or our Patreon logos, and if you can throw a couple bucks to us each month, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. It literally helps keep things going, and every penny counts. And for all the people that are doing it, thank you so much. For the people that are on the fence, get off the fence. I'm just saying, if you can afford it, please consider it. We'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, Taz, a little bit of reading.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd be so kind. You know, we on the Geocaching Podcast have been known to throw our opinions around, as it were. And every once in a while, we get a comment that we're not afraid to put out as well. So go for it. We got some things coming in from Merlin 1392.
All right. We got music for this, or
I don't have anything locked. Doom.
Okay, so this is from Merlin, aka Tim Green. Hey guys and gals, I really like listening to the show, and especially the forum perspective of InfoFerret. However, could Andy please stop bashing the geocaching app? I know Sunny hates LPCs, but when it was minus 7, snowy, wind chill about minus 20, and I wanted to find a quick cache, the LPC was the perfect fit. Do I look for them frequently? No. Do I even like them? No. However, they do serve purpose. They keep streaks going and fulfill puzzles when the skill and thrill is in the puzzle or where I go and not the cache. Likewise, I mostly cache with a GPSR, but recently have been doing more urban caching and using my iPhone. That's the first problem there.
I'm purposely keeping quiet, so all right.
When the new app came out, I jumped in, seeing the handwriting on the wall. As a basic tool for finding caches, it works well. I happen to like the new drafts feature so that I can leave a simple note and compose a good log upon returning home. I mostly use the app to bring up Google Maps to route me to the area of the cache. Then I switch over to my GPSR. I've recently come into some free iTunes credits and made the jump to Cachely. Where's Scott Burke?
I don't know. Where is that when you need him?
Exactly. Yeah. So I find Cachely much more comprehensive, which is usually beyond what I need to find a cache. But it's growing on me. Today, while caching, I started with Cachely, but switched to the geocaching app for the trail guides and compass to finish off a DNF. The tree was recently removed.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Yeah. I have many tools in my toolbox, including at least 7 different hammers. The right tool for the right job.
There you go.
And Boston removed the tree, wasn't it?
Yeah. Your caching experience is beyond the starter nature of the Your caching experience is beyond the starter nature of the geocaching app. That doesn't make it a bad app, nor even an incomplete one. It serves an audience that it was designed for, and users gain experience that they can move to the many other options available. Thanks for the interesting show, but please give the Geocaching Headquarters credit for creating a starter app for beginner cachers. Maybe someday it will be more, but for the sake of beginners, I hope not. Sincerely, Merlin 1392, aka Tim Green from Rockford, Michigan.
Ah, Michigander. All right.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you know, I personally come to accept the limitations of the geocaching app. And with those limitations, I personally don't want to use it. And I only want to use CGO. But, you know, that's my personal opinion.
Sure.
I keep it on my phone. But strictly as backup for the those times when geocaching.com tweaks the API and breaks my CGO. I will say I have no issue with geocaching headquarters having a limited feature mode. You know, I would like to see basically have it with a limited feature mode for those newbies who are coming in and you don't want to overwhelm them. But I would I would sincerely like to see these extra features added in there. And you know, be able to flip that switch to a more expert mode so that we can use it and kind of go down to a single app or two,
right?
That's just my opinion, and I think part of it is good-hearted jabbing of what we're doing.
That's what we do best.
But also, you know, we do have some sincere things that we would like to see added.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Sarah, you said you had something?
Well, yeah, I decided to give it, after backing it for so long, I gave it a test out a couple of weeks ago on a trail where reception was dodgy, so I was forced to use it offline. Yeah, it sort of works. It works. It does what you need it to, at least for traditional caches. I'm now back to CGO for a couple of reasons, possibly even just as basic as CGO is what I know, so it's what I stick with.
Right.
And I think it's a case of some people prefer to drive a Ford, some a Toyota, some people want to drive a Porsche.
I wouldn't mind.
It doesn't make any of them wrong. It's just what you're used to.
Right.
And what you prefer.
You know, and you know, like I said, we can take it just as much as we can give it, and we love getting people to say, hey, by the way, cut it out. And there's no problem with that, and I understand. And I think one of the things that Merlin 1392 brought up, an excellent point that makes absolutely perfect sense to me about it. This is an app made for beginning geocachers. That if you look at it under the context of that's what it is, then I say they've got a fine app. It's not something that a bunch that people that have a much more advanced, like you said, set of requirements when they go geocaching. I had been a classic geocaching app person forever. I did get more than I used CGO. So it's one of those things I think that you know, Geocaching HQ, absolute kudos for that. I'm hoping that they make it, like you said, has extra features to it. So if you go under the idea of it, yeah, this is a fine beginning app, then that's great. Sarah, is your cat doing something? Because all I hear is banging.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to just go and shut the door. Not physically.
It started sounding like the hurricane or the cyclone was hitting. But yeah, it's one of the things.
What she'd found is a marker pen, a fairly big, thick marker pen, and she was batting that round over a hard wooden floor.
Yeah, so no problem. No problem.
Being picked up, so apologies.
No problem. But she, yeah,
a bunch of people were playing dominoes
or hockey or something. I'm not quite sure.
No, it's just one cat, but she's got very heavy feet. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, anyways, I totally understand. People have the opinions that they do for the geocaching app. I have mine. You have yours. Everybody has theirs. And yes, we do razz people when it comes to stuff. We do it for a point. We do it to hopefully help encourage certain actions over time when we do our revving. But, you know, it's all love. We love Geocaching HQ, and, you know, they're doing the best they can. And that's all that anybody can hope for. So, excellent letter.
Just fix the mystery, solve puzzles, and when you change the coordinates.
Like I said, there's stuff. There is stuff. So hopefully they'll get through it. Taz, do you still got enough for that, or you want me to hit the news for you?
Let's do the news.
Let's do this. Oh, that's the wrong button. This one. The news. Talk about a blast from the past.
Hi, everyone. We have released a new feature called Send to Garmin. With this feature, premium members can now send a list of caches to their Garmin GPSR device with the click of a button. Here's how it works. Download the latest version of Garmin Express, search the geocaches you want to find, add those caches to a list, visit my list on geocaching.com, select the Send to Garmin in the ... menu on the right-hand side, unplug and go geocaching. This feature should work for any geocaching-enabled Garmin GPS device supported by Garmin Express. We share this news via release notes in our forums, and we'll announce it more widely in the coming days via our newsletter and the geocaching blog. All right. So this was from Chris Ronan at Geocaching Headquarters. So, and I got the email this morning, and I decided to go ahead and make a list in an area where I don't currently have caches loaded on my GPSR. I did basically a 10-mile radius in Reno, Nevada for things that were greater than, I think, 10 favorite points, came up with like 147 caches. And when I got home, plugged up my Garmin, I got a Oregon 600, and it downloaded it in lickety-split.
Awesome.
So I thought that was pretty nice. I did go in and take a look at the files. It actually downloads a GPX file that's on there, but it doesn't like cost you a GPX being created.
Right. So. Excellent. All right. You know, they're trying new features. And yep. Hopefully that'll help out a lot of people, because there aren't a lot of people that still use GPSR units. And
yeah, it makes things a lot more convenient when you're gonna just shoot out there real quick to an area on the fly, and you want to drop down the coordinates, get a list of all the ones in the area, and
go
pull that list down to your GPSR and go.
Excellent. That way, it saves you the time, like you said, of having to make a pocket query and all the rest of it. You just map it and go. So excellent. All right, good stuff. Let's move on to the episode 493, Preparing for Geocaching Events. Yes, I know for Sarah, Frosty the Snowman will be not too far down the road for her. For us in the...
No, we don't get snow, at least not in the north. Only in the ski field. For, get rain. Too much snow.
You're killing my point. Anyway, she's in the southern hemisphere. We're in the northern hemisphere, and it's starting to get all springy and warm, and which is great because of all the winter snowstorms that have been hitting the north over the past couple of weeks. Michigan had a snowstorm again just recently, so it's like, sorry, guys. That's why I'm here. Anywho, it's time to start getting ready for geocaching events. And so we thought we would come up with some ones that you might want to consider as far as putting your calendars together over the next year. There's so many more out here. This is just the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. But something that you might be going, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. So I thought real quick we would kind of go through some of the stuff going on. The biggie that's coming up here in May, May 28th, matter of fact, Geo Woodstock, 27th, I should say, Geo Woodstock 15 is here in North Kakalaki. And, yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun now. Chad, are you still you're still up for coming?
Yeah, I'm coming, and actually I changed my flights because Delta decided to try to change my flights up and put me on a later flight and break it all up. So I was like, give me my money back.
Uh-huh.
I'm rebooking.
All right.
And so I'm coming in on Wednesday.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm going to try to get over
there. Unless they drag you off the plane.
I'm
flying Delta.
I saw the meme with the scene from Airport, and I'm just saying, we'll leave it at that. Anyways, so yeah, Geo Woodstock is May 27th, and they've got several, a lot of different events going from, I would say, that Wednesday, Thursday through Saturday, and even into Sunday. So you're going to want to check that out. Let's see, MOGA. And if you want the codes, GC6A1AA for MOGA 2017, that one's going to be in Kansas. And they've already got a bunch of people set up for that, and that's April 22nd. So coming up quick.
Oh, yeah.
For that one. I went to MOGA last year and had a blast. Had a great time with that. If you are into challenges and competition, MOGA is the thing that you're going to want to go to. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun for that. Another one, GC6R9J1 is the Midwest Geobash 2017. That's in Ohio. Another fun thing to go through. Matter of fact, that's one of the ones that's been on my bucket list that I haven't been to yet, is Midwest Geobash. GC6PVZW is GeoCoinFest 2017. Welcome aboard. Now, if you've ever been out to San Diego, the Queen Mary is out there. And I have actually been on the Queen Mary before, about 7-8 years ago, give or take or so. So October 14th is GeoCoinFest. Last year they broke the house down when it came to having a huge event. They've just had some really, really quality. You're thinking, well, it's just CoinFest. No, the stuff that's surrounding around the event is huge. They had the one at the Air Institute. Wasn't that NASA that they had? That they had a section that the CoinFest was there, and they had a whole area for stuff like that. This year, it's on the Queen Mary. So, I mean, just awesome stuff. So that's October 14th for that one. They've been doing a lot of fundraising lately for that. So excellent things, and you're going to want to mark that on the calendar. I went to the one that was out here 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that was in South Carolina. Excellent time. Lots of fun. Here's one that's near and dear to Taz. GC6ZBHT is the Going Ape 2017. I know a lot of people want to make that into a Giga.
they need to get their act in gear.
They need to get going.
Get that Giga status.
Yeah, August 19th this year for that Mega Going Ape. They've got a lot of stuff. And, of course, the infamous Ape Cache is going to be there and available for people like me who've never had an Ape Cache souvenir icon before. You can get it now. Just saying, it starts.
I'm eyeballing it because it's 12.5 hours driving.
There you go.
That's something I could take a Friday off. Yep. And
that's just me driving up to Michigan. That's a 12-hour ride. Right. Is driving from where I'm at to Michigan. So, yeah, it's not so bad. The other one that we have is GC6VT45, which is one of my favorites. This is just fallen into my heart over the past few years, is the Going Caching 2017. Last year was all space time travel stuff and had a riot with it. This year it's spy games. So all you James Bond wannabes, I'm just saying... Jason Bourne.
So it's a theme every year, right?
Yes,
so
it's a theme.
The Rome one, and
yes, it's actually going to be back in Rome, Georgia again. And the kicker with that you want to keep in mind when it comes to going caching, it's literally designed to be a multi-day thing. You want to come in on a Wednesday and leave on a Sunday, if at all possible. The event on Saturday is amazingly cool, but everything ties into all these components, all these different things that you can do, the activities that are on, all move from day to day to day right up into Saturday, and it's amazingly cool. So one of my highest remarks would be for going caching. Let's see. This is one that we've been invited to that I want to go to, and let's see. By the way, Going Caching is October 7th this year. Is GC6TKHJ. And it's the West Bend $1,000 Cash Bash. And Scott Burks is the the guy to talk about the Cash Bash. He absolutely loves it, and I think they're making him a resident there since he's been there so many times. So that's August 12th this year, and yeah, can't say enough about it. Literally one of the top places in the nation to go geocaching. So it's definitely something you want to put on your list. And then finally, I have GC6M2V0, which is the, I'm going to completely butcher this, O-A-M-A-R-U, so
Oamaru.
Thank you. GeoFest 2017. And the reason why she could pronounce it and I do it, because I don't speak Kiwi like Sarah does. Because it's
hey, I've still got my L plates on. It's the Oamaru GeoFest 2017. It's not got mega status yet. There's only 213 people who have signed up to attend so far.
Yep.
So please, if you want something in our spring, your autumn, the rain will have gone by then, I promise you.
I don't believe you.
It's looking really, really cool. The program's out on their website, and there's more than enough to keep you happy. There's even a couple of trails where we think where I'm trying to decide, do I hire e-bikes for the day and go and hit them? Because there's an e-bike hire shop there.
Right. Yep, so lots of stuff to do, lots of stuff to put on your calendar. And these are, like I said, this is just some of the megas. This is the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. Make sure you check out your area for, and geocaching.com is a great way to do it. They've got a section there where you can just check for events in your area. And it's as simple as that, as one of the filters. So really, really cool. We're not going to talk about tonight just mega events. The type of stuff that we're going to go through now is we're going to just give you some useful ideas of getting involved when attending a geocache event itself. And there's so many different things that you can do. There are meet and greets and other ones that have particular themes and other ones that they do on a monthly basis. I mean, there's so many gatherings of geocaching. There's some that are as simple as just getting people to come together to get a libation and talk. Other ones can get much more elaborate. So some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is getting you just some things to prepare for when you go to an event, especially for the folks that have never gone to an event before. It can be intimidating. Because a lot of times you're kind of breaking that personal bubble. If you're not a if you're a bit of an introvert like I am, it's uncomfortable to go to a place where there's a bunch of people you've never met before. The cool thing is you've got a common ground like no other, and that's geocaching. And it's awesome, and it's one of the beautiful things about being part of the geocaching community. So let's just kind of go over some of the things that you want to do. One, be prepared. Boy Scout motto, if you're prepared for the basics for an event, it's going to go really, really smooth. If you try to do it by the seat of your pants, sometimes not so much. Some of the things, simple things that you may not want to, not even realize. Simple parking. Depending on where the restaurants are or the areas that you're going to for a particular event, sometimes the parking is quite generous. Sometimes you might be doing a little walking when it comes to parking. I highly, highly recommend, depending on the size of the event you're going to, especially if you're going to Omega, find out where the parking areas are. Because when you have something like, okay, for open caching, they had a couple of events that were out of the area that they normally have it. It's in one of the towns, and it was a donut place that was in the back of an alley, and they had 350, 400 people show up at this thing. It's you got to be prepared for finding a parking spot.
You don't want to get boxed in as well when you're up on that first to find chase.
Absolutely. And sometimes, if the event is big enough, it'll have a map showing you where the parking areas are, so you kind of plan ahead for things like that. But other ones, you just realize that that's part of the deal, that people come in by the droves for an event. Some of the basics. If you're going to any real major event or, one that's at like a park or a picnic area, remember the basics. Bring a cooler of water or liquids with you, keep it in the car, because there are a lot of times, like I said, if you're out walking and you get dehydrated or what have you, having a nice cooler filled with ice in the car waiting for you, you don't even have to necessarily carry it when you're going to an event, but it's also nice to come when you're coming back from the event.
Oh, yeah.
That is huge for things like that. Same other basics that we normally say when you go geocaching: bring snacks, picnic items. If you've got kids, you know this. You already pack this stuff up. But even if not, it's always good. Like I said, it's after the event that those things really come in handy for, especially if you're kind of out in the rural areas where the fast food joint or whatever is a ways away. It's always nice to have stuff like that in. When you're going to an event that you're going to be there all day, the correct clothing and sunscreen, raincoats, if it's gone there. I've been to several events that we've had some deluges, and you make do. But it's nice to have those little ponchos in a pocket that you wear once. Those will save you.
Or a trash bag in the case of
if you have to, you do what you got to do with that.
Just don't turn up to a CETO like that. You might get mistaken for the trash.
Yep. The other one, if you've got portable chairs, I highly recommend, because even at the big events, a lot of times they have gatherings at night where they show movies or have a play or whatever's going on. They've got some kind of major event that goes on a lot of times for several hours someplace. And if you're in the South and you know about fire ants, you'll realize having a chair is a good thing. So, yeah. Hang on a sec. Yes, that is me, Thunder. So, speaking of being wet, but yeah, make sure that you bring your extra chairs, because that'll save a lot for you. Caching items. Bring your own pen, several of them, because a lot of times with geocaching events, they have nice icebreakers that they do, like geocaching bingo, which is extremely popular. Do they do that in New Zealand, Sarah? Is that as popular as here?
Geo bingo, yeah.
Oh, the, yeah, yeah.
There's various twists on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's things that they run off, one they quite often run is sort of a speed date acacia.
Mm-hmm.
Where you speed pair up with somebody else and you've got 5 minutes to find out something crazy about them, and most, and the, and they get prizes for the most extreme ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't heard that one. Yeah, for Geo Bingo, a lot of them, it's like, you know, if you've found over X thousand caches, or if you've ever been stuck in a tree or whatever, there's different different situations to have people.
An 8 cache.
Yeah, very popular. Of course, Chad sells it off at $5 a pop, but that's all right for an autograph. Hey, so
you gotta get the pay for the trip.
That's right. Know. Whatever works. Hand sanitizer. What I put as a note in here, and it's actually true. Bathrooms may vary, so I'm just saying, when you're going to an event, having hand sanitizer is a good thing. So just keep that in mind.
I have half an old blue roll in the bag.
Yeah, my wife will make sure that I, when I go on these trips, I will take hand sanitizer with me.
Yes. Yeah. Just saying, you know, it's just life. Some of the things that you want to do, like say, for example, with Geo Woodstock that's coming up next month for here in North Kakalaki this year. Some of the things that you may not realize that you want to do, especially for the larger events, things as simple as they'll have a web page and for the event. And they may actually have a separate web page that's associated with the geocaching page as well. You need to register for that. It's very, very important, not only to put your will attend on a web page, but also to get on the geocaching page. If it's a larger event, a lot of times they have what's known as packages. And what that means is you can have a free package that basically gets you a lanyard and a sign in it that tells you who you are, that kind of thing. Or you can get extra swag packages that have things like geocoins and t-shirts and path tags and all sorts of other things.
And food.
And food. Yes. And keep in mind, when you register for a lot of these, the food tickets that they make available that you have to buy on their webpage is not always available at site.
Exactly.
So you need to get the food tickets when you do your registration. And usually it's something like say, for example, for Geo Woodstock, you're going to get it's like a lunch type thing, because the event goes from like 9 to 5. So they'll have a lunch food ticket, which will give you all the amenities and for what you have for it, and a one-time price. And then you do that for years, you, yourself, your significant others, your kids, whoever you're bringing along. And then that goes that way. Some events are huge and they have multiple vendors so that they can actually have, I know Open Caching has a lot of times, they'll have other event other vendors there as well, that if you didn't get the food one, you do have other options. But things go quick. Keep that in mind, especially at events like that. So if you're going to get it sooner rather than later is a huge thing for
and
that.
And if you've got dietary issues, check it out. And if in doubt, just take a couple of emergency rations that you can eat without problems. Like, say, gluten-free muesli bars or dairy-free something or other. Just something that if absolutely nothing is there that won't cause you problems, but you've got something to keep you going.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, one of the things I noticed, I was on the Geo Woodstock website today checking out that very thing, and they actually had an option on there if you wanted a vegetarian version of the plate for food and stuff, that you had the option for that. So a lot of events are very accommodating for things like that. Now, if you're going to a smaller event, it's usually at a restaurant. And usually get the food and beverages that are available at the particular restaurant for that. So that's usually pretty much a given when they go. Sometimes it's simple as meeting at a fast food place or a pub or whatever. Well, let's face it, geocachers like their libations. I'm just saying. So, you know, just kind of, if you've got things to check out, you'll get the information usually on the description page for the event is good stuff with that. Let's see, the event store, another thing, if you like swag, and who doesn't, I'm just saying, a lot of times what you want to do is purchase the stuff on the webpage for any bigger, and I'm talking usually the larger events, because a lot of times by the time they get everything ordered, they don't have that much in order for extras when it comes to, Go ahead.
And a lot of them, if you get a slight discount if you order early.
Yes. Big difference for things
makes
like that.
Makes their life easy, so they help you out.
Yes.
Right. And then when it gets to 30 or 45 days out, the prices go up. And then by 30 days out, it's like no more orders, period.
Yep, we're done. So if you want to get there and you want that T-shirt, or you want that geocoin, and a lot of the bigger events have some amazing stuff. I know I'm tagging a lot for Geo Woodstock because that's what's coming up. Many of the things that they have are Chris Mackey's this year for the geocoins and path tags and things like that. And if you know Chris Mackey, he's an amazing, amazing designer.
Geocoins out there.
Yep. This is something that you want to add to your collection. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So things to keep in mind for different type of events. Let's see. Event activities. Many possible things to do. There's just so many different things. The list at Geo Woodstock this year is huge. They've got multiple things per hour that are going at the same time. The best thing that I can suggest is if you're going to a large event, go to the webpage. Find out what's going on, because not only is the event stuff going on, there's other events that circle around them. So there's many, many places that you may be driving to or going to. Map what you want. Make a priority list of the things that you want to do, because sometimes things get full and they run out of space for a particular event and things like that. In other words, there's X number of people that are allowed and that's it. Make a list and priorities of the things that you want to hit. All right, let's see. Somewhere to stay, something as simple as that. If you can, the sooner the better, go out and find that hotel that you want to stay because things book quick, especially at large megas. Sorry,
I was just planning with some person I'm going down to the Oamaru Geofest with, and we've got a couple of places on Airbnb. We've got the car hire sorted. One of the things we had is we were limited because we're flying into Dunedin, which is a couple of hours away. We had, because we're working and we couldn't get sort of midday flights, we were limited to which car companies we could actually use because which ones were actually going to be open at the time that we got into the airport.
Right.
Just a trivial thing, but you don't want to be stuck with, I've booked with XYZ, and that's great, but it's 10 o'clock at night and they're not open. They won't have anybody on their desk till 8 a.m.
Yeah, no doubt. That's wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely car hire, like Sarah said, make sure you get your hotel room booked. Normally, a lot of times, believe it or not, when they find out, like say, for example, with Geo Woodstock, during the last thing that they do for the day is tell where the next Geo Woodstock's going to be, mm-hmm. people do two things. They register automatically their will attend. This because the other website's already up. They do it automatically. They register their will attend that day, and then they find out what hotels are available that are within a couple of miles from right. from the event and get them booked. It's,
yeah, I started going the less expensive route and using Airbnb.
Yep.
So you got some pretty nice places that you can stay at for a less than cheap motel rates,
right?
You get a much nicer place than even some hotels.
Really? I never even thought about doing bed and breakfast.
Yeah. Airbnb, we're using that for Oamaru.
All right. Excellent thought. I didn't even realize it. That's cool. Yeah, because I normally try what I usually find to do, unless like I'm working that particular event. So if I'm doing podcasts there and I'm supposed to be there all day or the 2 days or whatever that's going on there, and I've got to be right there, I'll usually get the hotel that's right next to it. And a lot of times when you go to the event pages and that, you do get discounts because they've got them available for you. So it's a little less expensive. If not, I'm a half hour out from where the event is. If it's one of those ones where it's a big one and all the hotels are getting booked that way, find one of the little towns a half hour or 20 minutes outside of it. It's not going to take you that long to make up driving that part of it, and you do get the lesser expensive ones that you know, that make it a little more affordable to go out. All right. What to expect? A lot of times, depending on the type of situation, when it comes to events, a lot of times educational stuff comes up. West Virginia Tim is probably the first person I think about when it comes to having an entire event for nothing but educational purposes. They will have an expo and have nothing but classes through the entire thing, where literally hundreds and hundreds of people are there, and you're there for an hour on whatever your favorite thing is, be it puzzles, be it travel bugs, be it whatever they're talking about at that particular point, and then they shuffle and go into the next class and go with that. So educational stuff's great. The usual ones that you're going to see is like basically geocaching 101 for the newer geocachers that are just learning about it, which I think are great. And GSAC always seems to show up somewhere at those. And if you don't know about GSAC, it's basically a really great application, and it's a giant set of databases to take your pocket queries and such. And
GSAC can be pretty intimidating for someone.
Yes, if you don't
first
not
starting
with
out, and if you don't know what you're doing, you're overwhelmed. Yep. While this class would give you, hey, here's the great ways to use it.
Yep, tons of stuff. Again, meet and greets are really cool. A lot of times these things that go through can be an hour get together. Doesn't have to be that long. And basically in a case like that, it's just people coming in to say, hey, haven't seen you in a while. How's it going? Meet and greets are awesome to go through and just, you know, get a little something to eat, a little something to drink, and just talk geocaching with other geocachers. They're awesome, awesome things to go through with it. The different other things that you can get in through there as well, they can have Meet the Reviewer, which I always thought was kind of a cool thing to go through. If you ever wanted to have it out with a reviewer, these are the great places to go to. They come out and answer questions of, why didn't you approve this particular geocache? And they put some...
Or even occasionally, just say thank you.
Yes, or to say thank you, because they do a wonderful job.
I know, that's
what I
really taught you guys.
Yeah. It's not all terrible. It's good stuff, too. But right. No, they're great, a bunch of guys, and they're all volunteers, and we love what they do, even though we may or may not always agree. I'm just saying. So that's how that goes. But, yeah, Meet the Reviewers are awesome. CTOs are great for cleaning up the basically our world's game board for picking up parking lots and parks and everything else from the trash. So cash in and trash out.
The Christchurch event had a tree planting CTO.
Yes.
So we went out and planted several hundred trees in an area.
Oh, I love that. Oh,
that's cool.
A lot of times they also do the other thing where if there's an invasive plant.
Well, cut down trees.
Well, maybe not trees, but different plants that that are taking over a particular area. Like down south, yeah. We have kudzu here, the plant that ate the south. And they'll sit there and try to get that out of control, or under control, I should say. So lots of things that you can go with it. If you do go to a mega event, just keep in mind there is a whole lot of humanity that goes to a mega event. When you start talking hundreds and thousands of people at a mega event, be patient. It may be a little bit intimidating when you go there because there is that many people there. But it's surprisingly, in almost every case, very smoothly handled. I mean, it's everybody kind of gets their feel of where to go and what to do and deal with it, that it's not quite so bad. And when you get together and have a good time, because they give away prizes and all the other things that go on, you have a good time at a mega event. Let's see. I'm trying to think, guys, any other stuff? I know we're running a little bit late. But any main things that you want to do, lab caches is interesting.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, like those.
Quite often they tend to make it, in the mega events, they tend to make it a what's interesting local.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about the lab caches. It's almost like having some of them, like having virtuals.
Yes.
Come back for the area for a short time.
Yep. Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Pop-up caches, they can be absolutely anything.
Yes, mm-hmm. And they're creative. That's the thing that I love about it.
Right.
This isn't one just... go ahead.
I can say one they did, the last one, was you had to try and log onto the website for the camp, and the holiday park it was held at, and they changed the IP address to the coordinates you had to get to find the... and the actual keyword.
Ah, neat. Yeah, it's limited by the imagination of the people that make the lab caches, and they are really, really popular. The main thing that you want to just remember is a thing to do with this: plan what you're going to be able to do. Be flexible of what can and cannot be done when you go to a mega event, because sometimes things run out or just don't work as expected. Just let the adventure happen as it goes and just enjoy. If you hit a snag about this and that, let it go. Move on to the next thing, and you'll have a much more enjoyable time. If you solve the puzzles in the area, if puzzles are your thing, that's a huge thing, because a lot of them do just that. What are the must find caches for you in the area? Chad's got a whole frickin' itinerary for his trip going to Geo Woodstock.
Oh yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting. A lot of the puzzle caches around Asheville are field puzzles as opposed to traditional solve elsewhere and do it. But a lot of them are great because it pulls in the local art. Because I saw some of them using Google Street View.
Oh, really? All right. You might hit lucky.
But yeah, I mean, I'm still going to visit the areas because I mean, they got a lot of great art there in Asheville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. So find those must-find caches. If there's that oldest cache that you want to find or the most popular cache that you want to find, add it to your list. And I'll tell you what, even when you make that bucket list, I've noticed a lot of times for me, because I get so wrapped up in everything else, it's like all of a sudden the time's gone. And yep. It's like if you don't schedule it, it's like, oh, shoot, maybe next time. So right. Schedule what you want to do.
I've got my key criticals scheduled. the other ones are going to be nice to have.
So. Yeah, exactly. The one thing, especially for the folks that are introverts like myself, break that comfort zone, get out and mingle. Go out and talk with geocaches because they love to talk back, and it doesn't take much of anything. Hey, I'm a geocacher. That's it. And people will be going, hey, how many finds do you have? What do you do? Where are you from? How do you like things? Where do you go? What's your favorite cache? There's a zillion things that you will suddenly be absorbed into the community when it comes to it.
A really good icebreaker I have is, hey, so you're, insert name here.
Yes.
I've seen your logs online. It's good to meet the person.
Exactly. It's awesome. The other thing, and one of the things that I love that the Fall Fling does here in North Carolina, if you are your first time at an event for the Fall Fling, they put a little heart on your name tag so people can see it, so that the other ones that have been to the Fall Fling and been to events before know to go up and say, hey, how you doing? And introduce yourself and go with that. I love that idea. So it's just another way for people that may not want to take that first step for talking. I'm sorry, you're at a geocaching event. You're going to be talking to people.
Right. You really need to step up. I've been, the events that I've hosted, you know, everyone's included and stuff. But I had one where I was hosting and we had a guy who was sitting off on his own in the corner, not talking to anybody, and I didn't realize it for a good 20 minutes, and I look over there, and I go over, and it's like, are you a geocacher? Because he's kind of in our area,
right?
And I was like, yeah. It's like, well, come join the crowd.
Yeah,
you know, he was from Kansas.
Just needed the invitation to come over.
Exactly. It's like, join the crowd. Yeah, more of the merrier.
Awesome. And it is. And it's one of those beautiful things one of the things that I love about the geocaching community, it doesn't matter where you're from. It really does not. You've got the commonality. Everybody else has been there. Even if you just started geocaching, everybody's been there. So it's like, go for it. Mingle, talk. You are going to have your ears chewed off with all the talking that geocachers do. So... it's awesome. Mingle. Get out there and have fun.
And we don't mind if you're a newbie. Actually, newbies that turn up, I love the enthusiasm. I love the bounce. And you may think, oh, God, I can't find any of the road. I've looked for four and I've DNF'd three. I'm terrible. Who cares? You can get hints and tips from other people.
Ask questions.
Exactly. And we've all been there with the DNFs. So, I mean, we've been there where you DNF one after another, and then you come back the next day. It's like, how in the world did I DNF that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
The stories will come long and frequent, I'm telling you. So just enjoy yourself. Have fun. If you do these simple steps, plan ahead and make sure everything's going on. Have those basics with you so that everything's enjoyable. You're prepared for when things unexpected happen. And just mingle, have fun. Know what you want to hit when you're at an event. You're going to have a great time. And I know a lot of people nowadays that's what they do. They go for the quality caches when they can find it and hitting events because then you get to meet some of the coolest people on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. Good stuff. So we ran a little bit late, folks. Sorry about that. But yeah, there's a lot to realize when you go to an event. It's and if you go by the seat of the pants, believe me, you're going to find out. Be prepared. So good
have
stuff.
Fun.
But have fun. Absolutely. All right, good stuff, and I think it's time we're going to wrap this puppy up. Want to thank you fine folks for supporting our show, yeah, this has just been great. We're glad that you've been here and followed along with us, and we hope you got some nuggets to remember the next time you go out and attend an event. All right, let's move on. We'd like to thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.